Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back for our second great big hour of Open Forum today. Tim Staples is our guest. Tim is Director of Apologetics and Evangelization here at Catholic Answers, the author of Behold Your Mother, a Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, which as at this very moment is on sale for just $9.95, which is 45% off over at shop.catholic.com. And Tim, we have loads and loads of people on the line,
yes.
So I am anxious to just get to calls. How
let's
do you feel?
Do it. Okay. Let's do it.
All right, let's go to Bill in Van Nuys, California. Bill, your question for Tim Staples.
Hello.
Yes.
Have a question regarding confession.
Mm-hmm.
I have about, three more sessions to finish my RCIA, so I'm a brand new Catholic.
All right.
Thank you. I feel great about it.
Praise God.
So I've had two confessions so far, very brief. One was immediately after my baptism, so apparently there wasn't too much to say at that particular session. But here's my issue. My issue is when I approach confession, and I'm reading as much as I possibly can regarding the sins that we're accountable for, lust, greed, avarice, etc., and then the multi-pages describing all of the ramifications of those particular sins. And then the entanglement, if you will, if I can use that word, to the Ten Commandments as well, the roots of these sins that manifest from the Ten Commandments and all that. It seems very complicated and comprehensive and incredibly detailed to me.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm feeling is that when I go out of it, when I'm leaving the confessional, I get a very brief confession with a very minimal penance, in my opinion.
Right.
But I still feel this guilt that how can I make a comprehensive confession when I really don't know of all the sins that I may be committing,
right,
but I'm not aware of.
Okay, right. Bill. Thank you.
Great. Bill, that is an excellent question, and I want you to know that you're asking this question for a lot of folks that are listening right now. And here's the key. The Catechism of the Catholic Church in paragraph 1493 and elsewhere, but paragraph 1493 is a great little succinct guide for us. It says that we must confess all of our mortal sins that we remember. Don't you love that, Si?
Yes, yeah.
That we remember. You do not have to confess. And of course, it would be impossible to confess sins that you don't remember. So it says, after making a good examination of conscience, you confess all the mortal sins. And now I would add here, because I don't think the Catechism says it here, number and kind. That's how many times. And I believe this was grave matter, Father. I believe this was grave matter. And that's it. You don't have to remember everything. You try, when you examine it, your conscience, to remember everything you've done, and especially with first confessions. I remember when I went through my first confession, I was like you. I'm racking my brain. I'm going through the Ten Commandments here. They gave us that little, you know, St. Alphonsus Liguori examination of conscience, and it is quite detailed. And I did my best, but as my confessor said to me, Tim, when you confess everything that you can remember, mortal sins. Now, you don't have to confess venial sins, though it's encouraged by the church. I encourage it. I do it. I confess it because I want that stuff gone, man. I want to be clean because, again, venial sins, you know, a lot of times we don't take them serious enough, but actually all sin is serious. Venial sins, though they don't destroy the life of God in our soul, they wound us. And yes, You do become susceptible to grave sins when you're laden down even with venial sins. So yes, confess everything. That's the beauty of it. Just confess everything. You're obligated to confess mortal sins in number and kind. Now, all the sins that you don't remember are gone. They are forgiven. They are gone, gone, gone. Now, if later, in fact, I believe it's that same paragraph that's, you know, if later in your life you remember a grave sin that you committed and that you didn't confess, just confess it in the next confession, because you are obligated, if you do remember, you know, don't make a big deal out of it. Oh my gosh, now I'm going to hell because I've... No, you're not. That's actually what I like to say, Cy, is that's built, that's a gift of grace. If you remember a mortal sin that you committed, don't look at it as, oh no, I'm going to hell. You should say, oh, praise God. God reminded me because he wants me healed. I can't wait to go to my next confession because I can get rid of that too. Because what happens is you may say, well, wait a minute. You just said you're already forgiven. Why are you confessing it? Because what happens is, even though we're, you know, we make a good confession, we confess our sins, we can still have attachments to sin. Let's say it's a sin of lust. You know, you go and you confess it. Come on. We've all experienced the fact that you can still have just a little attachment. Even though, hey, I'm not doing that again, but guess what? There's a little connection. There's what we call an attachment to that sin, the fomes peccati, the tendency. That, too, is an imperfection, right? And so God calls us through Holy Mother Church to confess those sins that we remember, because he wants it completely, all unrighteousness. I always, you know, remember 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. If any man says he has no sin, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he is faithful and just. He heals us. And he wants to completely heal us. This is why, you know, St. Paul would say in Acts 26:20, when he's preaching, he says, repent and then go and do works worthy of repentance. Because, you know, you repented, great, but now you need to go and be healed. Do good works, live the faith, and allow the Lord to completely transform you from all unrighteousness. And so remember that. This is God. You know, Holy Mother Church and our Lord are not there standing there with a whip and saying, oh, you forgot that you were. Right. Oh, I'll tell you what, man, you're really going to hell now. No, that is such that's an absolute distortion of who God is. God wants us all in heaven. In fact, Scripture makes very clear, God wills all to be saved, 1 Timothy 2:4, and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. It's like God is so avid about this, he wants to make it clear that he positively wills all salvation, and negatively, he doesn't want anybody to go to hell, and that includes you, Bill. He wants you in heaven. And so when we look at it that way, all of a sudden it becomes freeing instead of drudgery. Oh my gosh. Okay. Right? Because I will tell you, a lot of folks fall into that. You know, when we lose sight of God as our Father who loves us, it can lead to all kinds of problems in our spiritual life.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
because we're not in touch with reality anymore.
Exactly. We've created another God. We've created this monster who just wants to beat us rather than the God who so loves us that he sent his only begotten Son. But does that get at it at all? Does that help, Bill?
Yeah. Well, it does get at it. But I do have one thing that you mentioned, and that is these remembrances that you mentioned that we remember.
Yes.
The remembrances part of it.
Yes.
Do these go to pre-baptism issues that... Oh, it does not. Okay,
That's a great question, Bill.
That's right. That is generally speaking, you know, there is a distinction between, you know, sins before baptism and after. We believe as Catholics, we have a great gift in baptism that baptism takes away all sin and all attachment, or I should say all punishment due for sin. That is not necessarily all attachment, because we can still have, even after baptism, of course, we have fomes peccati. So it doesn't take away all attachment, but it does take away all the punishment due for sin. So there is never a need to confess sins that were committed before baptism, even mortal sins, man. What
gone.
A deal.
Gone.
They are gone, never have to be confessed.
Bill, thanks very, very much for that call. Before we take a break,
yeah,
Tim, I want to ask you a question about timing, because you say, okay, so you think of a sin that you didn't commit. Say it's a serious sin.
And you mean that you didn't remember
that you committed.
Yeah.
If there are people like me, I know, who will remember as soon as they walk out of that confessional. Oh, yeah. My gosh, the thing I went to confess. Like, well, okay.
Yes.
My own personal policy even then is I'm not turning around and going back.
No.
I'm coming back at my next regular confession and I will say it again. Does that make sense to you?
That's the sign of a healthy soul.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
I have a healthy soul.
That's right. Because
not a healthy mind.
Yes. But. The key is the intention, right? The intention. You were there. You confessed. You are forgiven. And at that future, the next confession.
Right.
You make a mention of that. There's no, oh, no, I can't receive communion now and all of that. No.
No. Yeah, okay.
No, the church never says that. The church simply says we need to confess it in our next confession. We do need to confess. The church makes clear all mortal sins that we remember. Obviously, you couldn't do it.
If you didn't remember it.
It's only when you remember it that you become obligated.
Yep. Okay, Bill, thanks so much for that call. We have to take a quick break. It is open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. Any question you have about the Catholic faith, about Catholic people, Catholic beliefs, it's all welcome, whether you're Catholic or not. 888-318-7884 is the number. Tim Staples is our guest, and we'll be right back with more of that after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers. Did you know that Catholic Answer speakers, including yours truly, travel all over the globe speaking at conferences, parish events, high schools, and colleges? If you would like to bring a Catholic Answer speaker to your neck of the woods, visit CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. That's CatholicAnswerSpeakers.com. We look forward to seeing you.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God, to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host. Our guest is Tim Staples. Our topic is anything, because it's open forum today. If you got a question about the Catholic faith, give us a call. Just as, Sam is in Vancouver, British Columbia. I believe that is in Canada, and Sam's listening on the Catholic Answers app. Sam, thanks for downloading the app. Your question for Tim.
Hi, I just have a question. So I'm Catholic. My twin brother is Protestant.
Yes.
And he said to me, I was just telling him about the Catholic Church, and he's completely refused it. I told him why. He said, without Martin Luther, the Catholic Church would have stayed in corruption. So I didn't know what to answer, what to reply.
Right. Oh, Sam, one thing you can certainly say is that is absolutely false. As far as without Martin Luther, the church would still be where she was 500 years ago. No. Now, you know, that's giving way too much power to Martin Luther. Now, but let me qualify this, because the church is always going to be, you know, Cy, we were talking about this a while ago. The church is always going to be corrupt in the sense that we're made up of sinners. There's never going to be a time where, oh boy, now we've arrived and every Catholic is the perfect Catholic. I mean, come on, there's no such thing. You've probably, Sam, you've probably heard the old saying, if you're looking for the perfect church, you're never going to find it. In fact, if you find it, as soon as you walk into it, you've ruined it. Because you're a sinner. And guess what? They are too. There's always going to be Judases among the 12. There are always going to be sinners in the church because we are all sinners. That's a very important point. But I will say this. Over the you know, 2,000-year history of the church, God uses many whips, right?
Mm.
You know what I'm referring to, Sam? In John chapter 2, Jesus walks into the temple. And they were, you know, the money changers were there selling the sacrifice, you know, the animals for sacrifice, and they're cheating people, and all that stuff was going on. And what did Jesus do? He threw the tables over, made a whip out of cords, and the scripture says he drove them out of there. He was mad. Right? Jesus, you know, God got mad that day, and you don't want to be around when God gets mad, right? You know, we always say in theology, right, Cy, God can't get angry, right, in his divine essence. Of course not, because that would mean we would cause God, and you can't cause God. God causes you. But in the incarnate second person of Blessed Trinity, absolutely, he got mad.
Yeah.
In fact, you can see several places where he gets angry. But anyway, you know, he got mad that day, right? So Jesus throws out the money chain. Why? Because they're sinners, right? And there's some sins are more outrageous than others, and that's always going to be. But I will tell you this, Sam. The church would have reformed, whether it was Martin Luther or whether it was Pope St. Pius V, St. Charles Borromeo, St. Philip Neri, St. Ignatius of Loyola, and on down the list we could go. Reform comes because the church, and please remember this, Sam, the church is at the same time, you know, we're sinners, but we are also the spotless bride of Christ. So at her core, you have for 2,000 years, the church is always the spotless bride of Christ, and you always have sanctity in the church. Same time you have the corruption going on, guess what you have? You also have saints. You have monks that are praying, giving their lives in prayer, praying for these knuckleheads that are doing all the bad stuff. You have saints in every generation, Sam. And so I argue that it's the saints, monks that are praying daily in, you know, all around the world, that were much more the reason for the reform than Martin Luther. Although God, like I said, he will use whips. He will use Muslims as a whip to wake the church up, which the church has. He'll use the Persian invaders in the 7th century, Muslim invaders, you know, for many, many centuries and such. God makes whips out of all sorts of things, and I believe as evil as the Reformation, I can't call it Reformation, forgive me, it's a rebellion, because that's what it was. And as evil as it was, God, he has dividing the people of God, as he did, is a grave evil. God brings good. See, this is why it's so good to be Catholic, man. We look at the crucifix, which is the greatest evil that could ever be perpetrated in the history of mankind. We killed God, deicide. But yet we look at that as our salvation, because God brings our salvation out of that greatest evil. And that's what he does. Whether it's the Muslims attacking us, the Persians, we could go through Alaric the Barbarian, down to Stalin, Hitler, you name it. God will bring good out of it, and he brought good out of Luther, as evil as that was, in what form? The Council of Trent and the true Reformation that happened, as I mentioned, with all those great saints. So, Sam, I don't know how much of that is going to help your twin brother. I think you need to really focus on what his issues are with our theology. What is it that bugs him about the Catholic faith? As far as theology, you might go a longer way toward helping him if you can help him to see the truth of the Eucharist. But at any rate, take what you will, and hopefully this will help you.
Thank you, Sam. Thanks very much for that call. I hope it indeed did help. Let's go to Michael now in Lafayette, Indiana. Michael, you are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Hello.
Yes.
Our Lord tells us pretty strongly in the Sermon on the Mount that we should not be angry with a brother or sister, and that and our church also exhorts us that anger is one of the seven deadly sins.
Yes.
And as you just said, Jesus was pretty angry sometimes, like when they were doing business in the temple, as you just said,
yes.
And with the Pharisees. So are there different types of anger here, yes. Or what's the deal?
Yeah, that is a great question. A lot of people miss this. But you're right. I mean, I can think of three places off the top of my head where Jesus got angry. Yeah, one was driving out the money changers. Interestingly, too, in Matthew 12, what is it, about 39, where the Jews come to him and show us a sign, right? And he had just been doing sign after sign after sign, and he got angry. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after sign, but no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah, which sounds contradictory, doesn't it? Because I'm not doing any signs. And then he starts doing the biggest one of all. Well, yeah, but he then starts doing more and more signs.
Yeah.
But the key is there. He's angry at the lack of faith and the pretense. Right? They, give us more signs. They just wanted a magic show. They did not want to change their hearts. And so, you know, that brings anger. And I'll tell you another one is Mark chapter 3, my friend, where Jesus heals the man on the Sabbath, and they're angry. They're, you know, how you healed the man on the Sabbath. You're breaking the Sabbath. The Bible says Jesus looked at them with anger because of the hardness of their hearts. There's powerful text there, right? So here's the key. Yeah, Jesus gets angry, and yet he says he that's angry with his brother is in danger of hellfire in Matthew 5, what is it, you know, about verse 22. Well, here's the key. Anger is not a sin if it is ordered by right reason. Okay, in fact, St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, I forget the chapter and verse, he says, be angry and sin not. Do not let the sun set on your anger. There is a place for anger. We call it righteous indignation. You know, and so if the anger is ordered by right reason, as it was with Christ, where he's angry, why? Because they've turned his father's house into this den of, as he called, den of thieves, right? He was outraged, but if you notice, that is something that is right to be outraged about. And I will tell you this, my brother, I believe we should be outraged as Catholics at a great number of things in our society, namely the slaughter of unborn children. By the way, vote for life this November, my Catholic friends, and don't listen to all the nonsense about every other, well, everything else is just, no, it's not. Vote for life. Anyway, that's another issue. We are very close to really making movement, by the way, on that issue. And we'll talk about that another time. I mean, thanks be to God.
Decades of work and prayer.
Oh, thanks be to God for President Donald Trump and putting Neil Gorsuch on the bench, and hopefully we'll do even more. But here's the bottom line, my friend. Anger that's ordered by right reason can be an impetus to act justly. Right? Somebody comes in your house, wants to kill your family. Are you supposed to say, oh, I love you? No. You get whatever you need to get, and you do what you have to do to protect your family, and that involves the passions. That involves anger and such, if you're a soldier at war and whatnot. Jesus is talking about there, the anger that will endanger to hellfire is an anger that is rooted in pride. It's rooted in a disordered soul.
Yeah.
That is angry. Why? And that's why you got to look at the intentions, right? Why are you angry? If it's not ordered by right reason, if there's not just cause for that anger, which there rarely is, then you're in sin.
Michael, thank you so much for that call. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. And it's true, too, that I should ask this as a question because I actually don't know this. So I'm throwing this out there as a hypothetical that Christ himself, he had perfect control over his emotions.
Yes,
so
he
if he was angry, it's because he willed to be angry because it
Amen.
For a good purpose.
Amen.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
There was never a moment where any of his passions were disordered. You're absolutely right. But what does that tell you? That tells you there is a place for rightly ordered anger.
Yeah.
Right. And you know, we could get into lists of times where it is appropriate to be angry. But I remember Father Groeschel saying that here was a time for anger. He said, our universities that call themselves Catholic all over this country.
Oh, I know what you're talking
about.
Who
should not have, they're breaking the first commandment. And I remember I was on a panel with him when he was saying, they're breaking the first commandment. And I was going, first commandment, why are they breaking? When they misrepresent Catholic teaching and call themselves Catholic.
Oh, because they're creating
they're creating a false god.
False god, yeah. They're,
and
right.
I honestly, until he said it, I was like, where is he going with this? Yeah. And then it hit me. Oh, my gosh.
Does he remember the commandments?
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Oh, my gosh. Well, that should.
Right.
Oh, you better believe we should be angry about that and do something about it. No.
Right.
If you're Catholic, you need to teach Catholic teaching.
Amen. Amen. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more Open Forum with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix. I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Sharing the gospel with family and friends can be challenging. It's especially hard when they won't even hear you out because of all the mental roadblocks they've built up. This is Carlo Broussard, and in my new book, Prepare the Way, my aim is to help you tackle that essential first step to apologetics and evangelization, getting people to listen with an open mind. Even our best witness can bounce right off folks like these if we don't prepare the way first, breaking down barriers and leaving minds and souls free to encounter the truth. I'll give you evidence and arguments and step-by-step strategies based on asking the right questions to help them overcome their obstacles and make a straight path for the Lord. Order your copy of Prepare the Way today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Well, I don't think we're like the typical college students because we really hang out at our campus ministry and everything. It's amazing about how much more connected you feel. We share really cool articles from actually you guys, EWTN, and like what you were saying about evangelization. So that's really nice.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Mentioned it last hour. I want to mention it again. We've got a brand new podcast here at Catholic Answers, and it really is unlike anything we've done before. Rochelle, who does it, is a very, very, very bright young woman, well-educated, well-prepared in her Catholic faith, and it's called Clumsy Theosis, and you just go to Catholic.com, and you go along the side there. You'll see a little button that says podcast. Click on there, and she's got like a, I don't know, maybe it's 10 or 12-minute clip up right now. It's fantastic, very well done. I really like the music for it, Nick. It sounds great. You put it on there. Nick says, I put it on there. I know that's why I'm telling you that I like the music. You can subscribe there. I don't know how to do that. I've never subscribed to a podcast ever, but you can get it on iTunes, Google Play Music, all the other major podcast apps. The tagline she's got for it is transform the world by transforming yourself. And basically, she talks on each one of them, and I've gotten to hear several, and I just love them. about practical ways to do what the world says is not just impractical but impossible, and that is to become like God. Clumsy Theosis is the name of it. Look for it at Catholic.com. On the side panel there, we click on podcasts and you'll see it. You also see Trent Horn's podcast there. Our Catholic Answers Focus is over there. And now, look, I just finished it, and Rochelle walks into the studio, so she doesn't know what a glowing report I just gave of Clumsy Theosis. Timing is part of being clumsy. We have a whole bunch of calls. Tim Staples is All right. our guest. It is open forum, so you get to ask anything you want about the Catholic faith. And our caller we go to now is Anon in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Anon, what a great name. Your question for Tim.
His brother called earlier.
Yeah, but
another
Anon a mouse.
I'll be right there.
He'll be right there, kids. Hang on, Dad has to take a call. Hi, Dad. You got a question for Tim?
Well, actually, it turned out that you're just talking about timing. It turned out to be pretty bad timing. But Tim, I've actually been trying to talk to you for quite a while. I emailed you on one of those, I don't know if it's your personal email, and okay. I've been waiting for you to get back. I have kind of a personal question, but then I have just an open question.
Can I ask, Anonymous, did you email me at on my website, timstaples.com, or was it at Catholic Answers?
Well, I think it was the one where you could have paid more to get it done faster, but I didn't pay for it. So.
That's Tim. Yeah, he's talking about my Apostolic Insiders.
Ooh.
My website. Well, my brother, yeah. I will get your email. Trust me, I'm only about 320 behind right now.
Oh, no, that's fine. I don't want to take up too much time, but
okay.
It's actually pretty deep and involved, but on the surface, okay. It's this, you know,
okay.
I listened to your show for years. I was a faithful Catholic for years,
right.
You know, went to Mass almost daily, and I'm struggling here because I ended up, you know, falling into sin.
Yes.
To pretty deep sin in a relationship. And it turns out that it turned out to be a very complicated relationship. And now, you know, you're just talking about this righteous anger a minute ago.
Yes.
And I've had things brew up in my heart that I've never knew were there, you know?
Right.
And it's like it's gotten to the point where I can barely read Scripture anymore, which was it was my lifeblood, you know. Scripture was everything to me.
Yes.
And so I look at Hebrews 6, and I don't really know church teaching, but, you know, for those who have tasted the heavenly gift and become partakers of the good things to come,
yes,
and who have fallen away, it's impossible to come back to repentance. I mean, those are really strong words, and they haunt me terribly, along with many other things, and it's like I'm in a compulsion to stay in this relationship now. It's opened up, you know, lust. Even if I go to confession, it's almost as though I walk out and I feel, well, I'm still in this mortal sin because I'm actually still living with the person. Their views are exactly 180 degree turn from everything that I believed in, is, you know, as far as same-sex marriage, abortion, all these things. And, I mean, you're kind of catching the drift, but it seared my conscience, I think, here to the point of, you know, insanity, really insanity.
Yeah.
And,
well, Anonymous, can I ask you, are you married? Did you leave your wife to go into this other relationship?
I didn't. And, you know, that's kind of a whole nother story, is I was with somebody for quite some time, and some of the issues that I had and some of the issues that she had, we stopped sleeping together, we lived apart, and it was almost as like as soon as my life was to the point where I could... I had to open some things up. She was kind of an alcoholic, and you know, I kind of felt it. It wasn't a good relationship, but I couldn't find the strength to leave. So I had been double-minded the whole time. But yet, you know, we did.
So are you basically living a double life? Does your wife not know about this other person?
She was not my wife, and it turns out she ended up finding somebody else. So I didn't go with somebody.
Okay.
You know, I didn't leave that relationship. She left the relationship.
Okay, and you weren't married. Okay, but now you're with someone else and you're living in sin.
Yeah, and you know, she, when we met on one of the dating websites, and
right.
she sent her kids to Catholic school, and
right.
it was almost like, you know, who bewitched you?
Yeah,
kind
yeah.
of thing. And,
okay,
and I can't blame anybody but myself. But.
Sure.
Okay, let's let.
Yeah,
Tim, I'd like
okay.
to hear
I think I've I got it. Well, anonymous. Let me tell you, it sounds to me like you know exactly where you are. You are in this relationship that you know is illicit. This is a sinful relationship, and of course, it has to end. At least the sexual component has to end. And as difficult as that is, you know, when you get into habitual sin, it becomes extremely difficult. I get that, brother. I mean, you know, we talk about how if a person practices virtue, what happens? They become virtuous. And actually, the more you practice virtue, the easier it becomes. And that's what it means to be a virtuous man. You're habitually walking in virtue. But the same happens with vice. And I know you know this, brother. When you continue to practice vice, it becomes easier and easier. And then you become a vicious person, right? And that's where you're at, my friend. But here's where the danger lies, my friend. It is easy in your place to fall into despair. Don't do it, brother. I urge you with everything I have. The fact that you're calling right now means the grace of God is all over you. God is calling you back. That's why you're on this phone. The grace of God is there. And guess what? God's grace will always be there. As long as you're breathing, God is going to be calling you back. And please, go to Catholic.com. I have an article there called The Impossible Impossibility. It kind of sounds like The Impossible Impossibility. And that is an article I wrote on Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. A lot of people misunderstand this, and I think you may be. When the inspired author there talks about it's impossible for the one who has been enlightened, has tasted the heavenly gift, has been made a partaker of the powers of the age to come, and all of that, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance. That text does not mean that you cannot be renewed to repentance. That text, in context, is talking about Jewish Christians. This is what the whole letter of Hebrews is all about. It's talking about Jewish Christians who were going back to the temple sacrifices and to circumcision, and they were telling everybody else they had to as well for their salvation. They're going back to a temple and sacrifices and such that don't have power to save. That's the context in which he says it's impossible to be renewed to repentance. Why? Because you're going to a well without water. But if those Jewish Christians leave that and come back to the Eucharist and to confession, you better believe they can be forgiven. And brother, please hear me. That's where you are right now. God loves you more. He sent his son to die for you, and he loves you more than you can possibly fathom. And though you may not feel it, right now what you feel is an attachment to sin, and you think it's impossible. Man, I'm just so attached to this, I can't get out. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. You will it. You say, I'm getting out of this. You go to confession, and you know, you say, well, I walk out and I feel. Of course, you're going to feel attachment to that sin. That's the nature of sin. When you go to confession, we talked about this earlier, God forgives you of your sins, but it doesn't mean you still don't have that fomus peccati, that tendency to sin. That's what happens when you habituate yourself in sin. So it's going to be hard. There's no way around this, brother. It's going to be hard. I recommend fasting, because what you need to do is to get your passions under control, and they are like a racehorse right now bucking to get out and into the race. They're bucking, and they feel stronger than you are. But you know what? You have somebody that's stronger than any passion, and that's Jesus Christ. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And so I recommend, my brother, you take it step by step. Go to confession. That's good. Go every week if you have to. And when you walk out and you don't feel anything, you tell the devil he's a liar. I was forgiven, and I'm going to keep going back. And if I keep falling in my mind, I'm going to keep going back. But you have to will to get out of the relationship. God's going to give you the grace, my friend, but you got to will it. and you got to do it, and then you're going to experience freedom. But look, even when you do that, you're going to have a temptation to want to go back again. Oh my gosh, because of that habit, you simply don't do it. You will it. You keep walking, brother. And I'll guarantee you, we will pray for you. And I pray, stay in touch, because I'd love to hear how this story ends. But my brother, Jesus loves you. You have the sacraments waiting for you. Do not despair.
Anonymous, thanks for the call. Any last thoughts that you have for us before you go? Well, we got to go to a break.
I guess one more prudent thing to do is, like, what do I do with Scripture? Because do I leave it alone for now? Because so much of it, you know, tells me that, you know, there's so many verses where it says God gave them over, you know, God gave them over, God gave them over. And so many demonic and satanic things happen to me that's what's at my mental state where it went, because these outside forces became so great. And it was almost as though, you know, it was more of a God's wrath. And I know that's very, it's harsh.
Right. But Anonymous, please hear me. Okay. No, you don't put Scripture away. You need to read it all the more, because what you're reading is reality. Yes, Romans chapter 1, God gave them over. Absolutely. But why is that? Because they refuse to acknowledge Him. That's not you. My brother, the fact that, hear me right now, doesn't matter what you're feeling. It doesn't matter what, but I feel, who cares? Forget about feelings. You are calling right now because you're sorry, because you know you're in a bad place, and that's why you're reaching out, which tells me the grace of God is there. Read those Scriptures, absolutely, because if you get to the place where you say, okay, that's it, I've had it, then guess what? God will remove grace for a time, as you know, both St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas says, that can be the greatest punishment for sin, is the removal of grace, where God says, you know what, if you don't want me, I'm going to remove grace, but always with an end in mind to bring you to your senses, brother. That's what he does. The only time he will remove grace is so that calamity happens ultimately for the salvation of our souls. But don't let it go there, my brother. And you are not there. And please don't let the devil tell you are, because you're not. If you were there, you wouldn't be calling right now. You wouldn't be asking about what should I do? How do I? That is a sign of grace, my brother. You hang on to that. You hold on to those Scriptures and keep reading those Scriptures, because it also gets to verses that say, if you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Jesus said, forgive 70 times 7 in a day. Do you think God's a hypocrite? He's going to tell us to do it 490 times a day, but He's not going to do it with you once a week? I don't think so, my friend. God loves you.
And God bless you, Anonymous. I'll just let you know, because we do have to take a break, but before we go to that break, already lots of folks on Facebook praying for you.
Amen.
And Christ grants freedom and healing. That's what He does. That's pretty much His job.
What He does.
So trust Him. Amen. He's going to do it. We'll be right back after this with Tim Staples on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Tim Staples here. Since May is the month of Mary and Mother's Day, I'm offering a great opportunity for you to help yourself, your family, and your friends to get to know our Blessed Mother more deeply than ever before. And to help make that happen, we're offering my book, Behold Your Mother, a biblical and historical defense of the Marian doctrines, for only $9.95. Folks, that's over 45% off the regular price. From her Immaculate Conception to the Annunciation, from her title as Mother of God to her perpetual virginity, from her assumption into heaven to her role as co-redemptrix, I'll give you all the facts and back them up with solid biblical evidence in a way that's easy to read, remember, and understand. Make this May the month you, your friends, and your family grow closer to the Mother of the Church, our Mother Mary. To get your copies of Behold Your Mother, call 1-888-291-8000 or log on to the shop at Catholic.com.
Do you want to end abortion, halt the attack on traditional marriage, and ensure religious freedom for ourselves and for our grandchildren? To do this, we must convert the culture. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a grassroots initiative that recognizes this need and takes it to the streets. If you're interested in peacefully sharing the gospel in your area, visit streetevangelization.com to learn more.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Oh, welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. It's open forum today. Lots of heavy questions today, but we're having a lot of fun. I mean, it's a real blessing to get to talk with folks about serious stuff.
You know what?
Yeah.
Can I say something? I just feel like, just to everybody listening, can you hear there's a thread that's being woven throughout these discussions, and that is that God loves us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's probably the most important message that people need to hear today. Is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And you know, if I could add one more, and it's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, because there, St. Paul, I think, dispels with this myth, you know, the myth that Jesus died for humanity. Have you guys ever heard that? Jesus died for humanity? No, he didn't. He did not die for an abstraction. He died for you.
Mm.
And St. Paul makes this so powerfully in this point in Galatians 2:20, where he says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I live, but Christ lives in me. Yeah. And the faith that I now live, the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. Not for humanity, not he died for, no, because he knew, loved, powerful, you know, for our callers that just called, and both anonymous callers who called, get your catechism. If you don't have one, you need one. Paragraph 478 in the Catechism of Catholic Church tells us that Jesus Christ knew and loved each one of us during his passion. And he knew and loved each one of us with a human heart, not just in the divine nature, but with a human heart, because of the fact that he had the beatific vision from the moment of his conception. He was able to know and love and see and experience each one of us. He has experienced your passion that you're going through.
Yeah.
And he died for you. And not just in an abstract way. He saw it. He experienced it. And so he is your source. And really, that's the message for all of us, Si.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Is Jesus loves each one of us. He saw, he knows us better than we know us. He's experienced the pain more than we've experienced the pain of our sins. And so what we have to do is just turn to him and let him do it. That's all you have to do is just say, you know what? I give up. Jesus, please help me. And do you think he's not going to help you? Are you kidding me? He went to the cross and died for you. Yet you're going to tell me here 2,000 years, oh, well, it's over for me. That is such a lie. That's a lie from the pit of hell. The fact is he loves you and he will rush in if you let him. That's all you have to do.
Amen. Amen to that. I remember I told Father Hugh Barber, our chaplain, one time, I said the hardest, I have no trouble believing that God loves me. It's hard for me to believe and to accept that Christ loves me with his human heart.
Yes.
And Father just looked at me like I'm a complete idiot. And the point was, that's the Christian faith. Like, well, that's the part. You've got to believe that. So I was okay, Father. I get it. He loves me. Let's go to Javier. Right here in San Diego, California. He downloaded the Catholic Answers app. Thanks for downloading it, Javier. You are on with Tim Staples. Your question, please.
Hey, Si. Hey, Tim. Thanks for what you guys do, not only on the radio show, but outside. You guys do your speaks. We got Cara Burchard coming next.
Oh, praise God.
Oh, good. Yeah. All right. Carlo.
So we get all you guys.
Don't drink any coffee that day.
And where are you talking about where we speak?
At the Men of Nativity.
Oh.
Rancho Santa Fe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, man, yeah. I love going there. All right, brother, what's on your mind?
So I have a fallen away Christian who had a couple of moments in his life. One was he was at some Mayan ruins, and he said, did you know the Mayans believe in the Trinity? So he's kind of saying that, but that there was the belief of the Trinity before even Jesus Christ.
Oh,
and
no.
He's now he's reading something that's telling him that Jesus was just a political rebellious zealot. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, okay.
And that all he was trying to do was proclaim a new changeover or a new regime for some aristocratic priesthood or something like that.
Right, right. Well, Javier, this is a bunch of nonsense. Number one, the Mayans did not believe in the Trinity. The Trinity was revealed by Jesus Christ. What you'll have, you know, sometimes folks will try to pull out of, you know, the various world religions and aboriginal religions concepts so loosely related, you know, Isis and Osiris and those sorts of things, Apollo and Zeus and Hera. I mean, but it's as far away from the Trinity as a cow is from an angel. I mean, it's just, no, there was no Trinity. Now, do we have, like, you know, bits and pieces of truth even in these religions? Sure we do. Yeah. But no, not the Trinity. The Trinity was revealed by Jesus Christ. Now, as far as Jesus being just a zealot, that, you know, again, nothing can be further from the truth. You know what I recommend? It's an old book, but a really good book by C.S. Lewis called Mere Christianity. It's a great little book, even though it doesn't go far enough because it doesn't get you to the Catholic Church. It's it gets you to Jesus. It's a great little book. And, you know, he makes a point famously in that book that anyone who will honestly examine the historical Jesus Christ, I'm sorry, he does not leave room for any other conclusion. He is either liar, lunatic, or he is Lord. Now, I like Peter Kraft. He adds guru, right?
Oh, yeah.
to that list. He is either liar, lunatic, or Lord, but he adds guru to the list of you know, false presuppositions that folks try to shoehorn Jesus into, right? No, he was really a guru. Bottom line is he is either a liar, a lunatic, or a Lord. Or Lord, because Jesus Christ revealed himself to be God. When he said, I and the Father are one in John 10:30, they immediately picked up stones to kill him. Why? Because he made himself equal with the Father. That's John's commentary in verse 31. Because he called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. That's why they were going to kill him. In John 8:58, when he used the divine name of himself, behold, before Abraham was, I am. They picked up rocks to kill him. Why? Because he just applied the divine name to himself, the name revealed by God in Exodus 3:14. And remember, that was revealed to Charlton Heston.
I know that you can definitely can trust that.
That's right. In Exodus 3:14, before, you know, I am. Tell them I am sent you. And he does that four times in John's gospel. He reveals himself as God over and over. He says things like Mark chapter 2, verse 28. The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. We could go down a lit. No, Yahweh is the Lord of the Sabbath. Look at Exodus chapter 20, verse 10. It's Yahweh who's the Lord of the Sabbath. What does Jesus say? The Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. I mean, he declares himself to be God over and over and over again. He demonstrates himself to be God by performing miracles, you know, prophesying that he would raise himself from the dead, destroy this temple in John chapter 2, and in 3 days, I will raise it up again. What? How can you raise yourself from the dead? Well, because I'm God.
Yeah.
And he went and did it. No, the fact is, if he were a zealot, you would not have him calling himself God, because that's the kind of stuff that gets you killed by the zealots, right? When you call yourself God. So, Javier, you know, nothing could be further from the truth. Stay strong in your Catholic faith. Do a little bit of digging, my friend, and you'll be able to help your friends.
Javier, we'll have to leave it there because, as you can hear, that is the music that to close the day. Tomorrow we've got Carlo Broussard. We'll be here. We're going to talk about the intercession of the saints, helpers, heavenly helpers on high. Oh, I just did a little alliteration there. Stephanie Gray will be here for a pro-life open forum. Tim Staples, thank you for a very fine hour. Or 2 hours.
And
are you tired?
No. Let's do some more. God bless you, brother.
You too. Don't forget Tim's book, Behold Your Mother, A Biblical and Historical Defense of the Marian Doctrines, is on sale right now at shop.catholic.com. Well, everything's on sale there, but Tim's book is 45% off. You're paying less than $10 for one of the great books you will ever read on Mary. Everything else, 15% off. Just put in the promo code Spring 18. That's it for us today. We'll see you tomorrow, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.